at Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now we'll just pray and then we'll say a few things about this passage. Our Father, tonight we thank you so much for your word, and we live in very strange times. And Father, a few months ago we would have never expected that we would be having meetings in the way we're doing this right now. And Father, we pray that you may help us, encourage us, and that you may help us to live our lives for the Lord Jesus, no matter what happens. We thank you that we have victory in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you we heard about the wonderful resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And Father, what a tremendous promise that is. And Father, we pray that you may help us to look to the Lord Jesus. And Father, some of us have lost our jobs, and it looks very uncertain when it comes to work and so on, and we feel we're cooped up in our homes. And Father, we thank you for our homes, but Father, we also miss seeing one another and meeting with one another. And Father, we pray that you may help us to use this occasion as an opportunity for the Lord Jesus, that we may use the extra time that we have to study a word and to read your word, and to also tell other people about the Lord Jesus, and to pray more, and to focus on the Lord Jesus, and to spend time with our families. And Father, we thank you for the many good things you have given to us. We pray, Father, that you may work in our country, that many people may realize the uncertainty of life, and may start questioning the whole reason for their existence in the first place. Father, we pray that you may use us in speaking to people, and we thank you for the opportunities you are giving us. And Father, we pray that you may give us boldness to speak your word, as the Apostle Paul also asked the Ephesians to pray for him in this chapter that we read tonight. And Father, we pray for this, for missionaries and commended workers who are not able to do what they normally do. Father, we pray that you may be with them too and help them. And Father, we ask you all these things And we pray that you may give a blessing over your word tonight. We ask you this, and we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And let me just put you here. I'm not used to seeing nobody. So anyway, we have seen so far in the book of Ephesians, when I had my first message, was about the book of Acts, how the Ephesian church came about, and how the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus. He preached the word. We were not entirely certain how that church came about, but no doubt, as we can learn from the book of Acts, Paul had played a great part in the development of that church. And so we saw there that there was also a measure of persecution there. And then we have been looking into this epistle, where we learn more about the Ephesian church. And Paul is writing this epistle from a prison in Rome. And so we have to keep that in mind, that Paul is writing this, being, as he calls himself in this chapter, an ambassador in chains. And so Paul is in Rome, he's in jail, and he's writing this epistle to these Ephesian believers. And so we saw that in the first three chapters, Paul mostly talks about the tremendous blessings that we have in Christ, that we are an earthly people in a heavenly position. And he talks there about the blessings in chapter 1, that we are blessed and we are chosen in Christ. We have redemption in Christ, and we have been predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. And we have trusted in Christ, and we have obtained an inheritance in Christ. And so we are a rich people. And so he talks about these things. And then we saw in chapter 2 that he goes back in time to when we were still in our sins. And he talks there about salvation and how we came to know the Lord Jesus, and that we have now become part of the church of God. And then in chapter 3, he talks about this mystery that has been revealed to him, that is the mystery that Jew and Gentile in Christ are made one. And so then you come to the second part of this epistle, and there we see that now we are heavenly people, and the Lord wants to has left us here in this world, and now we are heavenly people in an earthly position, in different positions in our life. For example, the position of in work, and the position of in our families and in the church, and so on, and the fact that we are to live the life as a new man for the Lord Jesus in these positions that we had when we were still in our sins. But now we are different. We are living our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus wants to shine through us to a world that is lost, that is still in darkness. And so we are to put on the new man. We are a new man in Christ together as Christians. We saw it in chapter 2, verse 15. He created in himself one new man from the two, that is from the Jewish and the Gentile believers. And then in chapter 4, verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we are new people, and we are to live like that. And so here in our chapter, here in this section, we are not only to put on the new man, but we are to put on the whole armor of God. Now, this is a little different, but it is very similar. And so we find that when we start living the Christian life, and we are putting, we shine the Lord Jesus in our lives, that we have opposition. And that opposition comes from the devil himself. The devil sees us as a threat to his plans, to his devices. And he opposes us. Now, you have to keep in mind that in the New Testament, the early church was a church that was persecuted. We often, when we read in the New Testament or even the Bible as a whole, we often look at suffering and hardship as something, you know, maybe personal problems or financial problems or family problems. But most of the suffering in the New Testament is the experience of believers who were persecuted. And so these Ephesian believers, they experienced that opposition against their faith very vividly. It was a real threat to them. You see that in the book of Acts. And Paul here, he experienced that as well. So persecution was the experience of the believers in those days. And that's still the way it is with many believers in our world today. And I would say, you know, we see many changes today. And we know this is not persecution because of our faith. But, and I know that the unseen enemy is not COVID-19. The unseen enemy is the devil himself. However, the devil could use this COVID-19 to make gains on us. And we'll see that the devil can use this to discourage us or even divide us. And so we need to be aware of the devices of the enemy. Now, this chapter, this section, chapter 6, verse 10 to 24, it can be divided in four sections. First of all, verse 10 to 13 is the exhortation to put on the armor of God and to be aware of the spiritual battle that we have. So I want to say a few things about that. And the fact that our strength is in the Lord, it's not in ourselves. We don't have that strength ourselves. And then verse 14 to 18 describes the different pieces of the armor we are to put on and take up. And so there are six, or actually seven if you include prayer as well, but six or seven of these different items, if you can call it that, of the armor. And then verse 18 to 20, it talks there about the emphasis on prayer. And so we want to look at that as well. And then verse 21 to 24 are the closing greetings that the apostle has for the Ephesians. Now, I think one of the most important things, first of all, I want to emphasize is that we have an invisible enemy. I think many of us, especially in our Western world where we don't really experience persecution, we don't live our lives, most of us, from day to day with that consciousness that we are facing an enemy. People tend to be fairly friendly to us, and we don't get persecuted for the faith like Christians do in China or Iran or someplace like that. But we do have an enemy. Now, this enemy that's described here is not the flesh. We find that, for example, in Galatians 5, or indwelling sin. You know, the power of sin, that's what we talked about in the book of Romans. That's a defeated enemy. You know, we still have the sinful flesh, but that's not the subject here. The other enemy that the Bible describes is the world. The world is in opposition to God. We see that in 1 John 2. That which is of the world is not of the Father. And what is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not from the Father. So the enemy of the Father is the world. The enemy of the Spirit is the flesh. But the enemy of Christ is the devil. And that's the enemy that we find here. And so I take it that our warfare here is defensive. We are put in a position, in a heavenly position, as believers. And we are defending the our heavenly position against we are defending that in a world that is against us. And we are in different positions in our lives, and we have to stand for the Lord Jesus. And so I just want to point out from the Old Testament, if you go to the book of Daniel, if you go to the book of Daniel, you see there are different levels of world events, how the story of the world unfolds. And I just want to point this out to just see how important it is to recognize the unseen world. You see, for example, in Daniel chapter 2, you see there the description of a big statue, the image that in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then it describes there the four empires that is being described there, which is Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then the Roman Empire, with eventually the so-called revived Roman Empire as well, and then eventually the empire of the Lord Jesus. Now, so that is the perspective of human events, of the perspective of the story of the world from the way we see it. That's how it is being described in the history books. These empires, they look like a big majestic empires. They're like images, very powerful. And when you look at the events of our world, of the story of the world, the nation of Israel or believers, they don't play any big part in that. The world doesn't understand that Israel or the church is more important than anything else in God's mind. And so in the description of that image in Daniel chapter 2, we see there the unfolding of the story of the world, the way we see it in the history books. One empire is followed by another one. And then if you come to chapter 7, you find there another level, another perspective of the story of the world. And there the empires are not described as being an image, but as beasts. And that's the way God looks at them. That's the prophetic view. So we have in chapter 2 the human view. In chapter 7 we have the prophetic view. And there in that chapter, those nations, those empires are beasts. They're wild, they're ferocious. And there we find the saints of the Most High mentioned, and that is Israel. It's mentioned there a number of times. In chapter 2, we saw that Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar and that all those kingdoms will be come to nothing, and then God will set up a kingdom. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But in chapter 7, the kingdom is given to the saints of the Most High. And so in chapter 2, you don't find Israel, but in chapter 7, you do. And so from the prophetic view of history, of the story of the world, Israel has a central place, in God's dealings. And so, for example, in the book of Esther, between chapter 1 and 2, you find there is actually a world event that is not mentioned in the book of Esther, and that was the big conquest of the Persian king against Greece. That's not mentioned in the book of Esther. In the world history, it is mentioned, but not in the book of Esther. In a prophetic view, what happens with Israel, with God's saints, is more important than any other major world event. And so That is an important view to keep in mind. We have a prophetic view of the events that happen in the world. And so even today, when we see what's happening in our world, how the world is with this COVID-19 and other many other events, we should keep our eyes on Israel. Because we know that God has many things to fulfill in his prophetic plan. But then you go to chapter 10, and there we find the story of the world, not from the perspective of human events, not from the perspective of just prophecy, but from the perspective of the unseen world of angels, and sometimes called the meta-historic view of events. And so if you go to chapter 10 of Daniel, Daniel had there, he fasts and he prays, and then after 3 weeks, a certain man, which is an angel, appears to him, and he says to Daniel, in verse 11, "O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you." And then in verse 13, he says, he says that he wanted to come to Daniel from the moment he started praying. But in verse 13, he says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." So Michael is an angel. "Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." And then you go down to verse 20. Halfway the verse, it says, "And now I must return," this angel says, "to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth." And so from that perspective, of what happens in the unseen world, that is really the place where angels and so on are, there are only two forces. That is the forces of God and the forces of the devil. In human history, Greece was against Persia. But in this chapter, they're both looked at as being opposed to God. So this prince, Michael, the prince, the angel, and this prince that is speaking to Daniel, they are fighting against the prince of Persia, that is the angel that represents Persia, and the prince that is the demon or the bad angel that represents Greece. And so in the angelic world, all forces are against God. And so we have to keep that in mind. Also, when we look at our wrestling against flesh and blood, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And so ultimately, all the enmity of Satan is against God and against his saints. We have to keep that in mind. We often don't live like that, at least I don't. And that is extremely important to keep in mind. And it should encourage us too, because Satan is a defeated enemy. Of course, the Bible says, "Now we do not yet see all things put under him." But at the same time, the Lord Jesus also said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And we know it says that the Lord Jesus, he has abolished death. And yet we know in the end, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so he is, in principle, the devil is a defeated enemy. But in practice, he is still a formidable enemy we have to deal with. And so are we even aware of this spiritual battle? The devil wants to discourage us. He wants to defile us. He wants to deceive us and divide us, and he wants to distract us. And so all these words, that's what he wants to do against us. And so what does Paul say here? And finally, that's the last thing I want to say to you, Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord, or be empowered in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't have that strength in ourselves, but we have spiritual strength in him. Put on the whole armor of God, or the complete armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. The devil is a defeated enemy, but the devil is incredibly powerful. We in our own strength would have no power against him whatsoever. Our power, our strength is only in the Lord. And yet, the apostle says, be strong. So we have a responsibility. And the angel also said to Daniel, be strong. He said, be strong. And so our strength is in the Lord, and not in ourselves. It's not anything we can do in our own strength. And then we also have to keep in mind that that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Paul, he was sitting in prison. He was experiencing the hostility of people in a tremendous way, and so did these Ephesians. And yet, our battle is not against flesh and blood. If people are against us because of our faith, then we have to recognize that we are, that's really the devil is using these people to be against us. But he says our wrestling is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, we saw that already, heavenly places. What are these places? Well, we saw in chapter 1 that that's the place where we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In chapter 1, verse 20, it's the place where Christ is seated. In chapter 2, verse 6, it's the place where we are associated with Christ. And in chapter 3, verse 10, it's the place where we are a testimony to angels. And then in our chapter here, in verse 12, it's the place of demons that we wrestle against. Now, I take it that this wrestling takes place on earth. But it happens in our hearts. It happens in our lives. And the devil is against us. And this is spiritual. So it's not fleshly. We're not going to buy guns to defend ourselves against the people that want to take away our freedom. Is, you know, I guess you could do that, but that's not really what this is about. It's a battle on the spiritual level. And then he says again in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, what is the evil day? I take it the evil day is a day of all-out attack. You know, this could be an evil day. You know, some of you folks are very concerned, and in some ways we are all like that. We're concerned about the next few months. How long are these restrictions going to go on? And but we need to find our strength in the Lord Jesus and not to get discouraged. And because then the devil can use this COVID-19 to get us down. And so we need to stand, to withstand, that is, to stand against in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So a difficult day, an evil day, is really the test as to where we stand spiritually. And that's not so easy. And I'll be honest with you, in the last few weeks, I really struggled. I found it very difficult. And, you know, we read a lot of news items and stuff, and sometimes we read a little bit too much, at least that's what I think. And it doesn't really encourage us to read the news, but we need to see things through the lens of God's word. And God is in control, and God can use all these circumstances for good. And you know what? I just read that the sale of Bibles has gone up dramatically here in North America. So that's a very positive thing. Maybe people are starting to think, okay, well, what's really the purpose of life? Why are we here? You know, life looks so certain, but I guess it isn't. Just had a really good opportunity this past week to tell somebody the gospel. And it's you know, I asked him, do you ever think about death? And he said, yeah, I do. And so I had a great opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. And so we can look for these opportunities. And then we are to, having done all to stand, we should never let our guard down. One of the most important things for a soldier, for an army, is training. And so the best way to withstand in the evil day is to stand and to be prepared before the battle comes. And so, you know, this time should really wake us up to, you know, what is really important in my life, you know. Maybe your business is going down and, you know, many people will struggle with their business. You know, is that all it is? Is that what all life is about, just to getting ahead, you know? And I ask myself those questions too, and it's not so easy. But, you know, the real thing is, what's important? It's our relationship with the Lord Jesus, our relationship with the church. And, you know, I really miss gathering with you, all you folks. And one of the things I really miss is the congregational singing. I really miss that. And then you start realizing, you know what, sometimes the best things in life are appreciated most when they're lost. And then I was thinking about many, many Christians around the world who are imprisoned for the name of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes they can't meet with other believers for years. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's, I mean, we don't know anything about this. At least I don't. So we still have it very good. And so maybe this can drive us to pray more specifically for those believers as well. And then we come to, there's one thing I want to point out before I go into verse 14, that these different parts of the armor are actually quotes, or maybe not quotes, but some of them are paraphrased from the Old Testament. I just want you to read a few from Isaiah 11, verse 4. And this is talking about the return of the Lord Jesus on the clouds of heaven at the second coming. It says there, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." And then in chapter 52, chapter 52, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." And then chapter 59, verse 17, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." So the Lord Jesus, when he comes, he will have these things on him. He is the truth, but he shall be girded with truth. And so we today, we need to be girded with truth. You know, one of the most important things is for a soldier is to know what you're actually fighting for. In our world, they try to do that by propaganda. But we don't need propaganda. We need the truth. And so he says here, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Now, first of all, that is objective truth. The truth of God's word. And we've seen that a number of times throughout this Ephesian epistle, the mentioning of truth, for example, in chapter 4, verse 25, therefore putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And also chapter 1, verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So we have the truth of God. We need to have that before us all the time. But also we need to be marked by truthfulness or integrity. You cannot be girded with truth if you're not truthful yourself. So we need to put away lying. And to be girded just means to, just the New Testament way of saying, be prepared for action. So we need to be prepared for action with truth. We face the world every day. We face people every day with truth, truthfulness. And then the second thing is the having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so those two things are very closely connected with one another. We need to be marked by truth and by righteousness, also in a practical sense, practical righteousness. We need to be just in our dealings with people. And then in verse 15, we need to be having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, some people think, and that is certainly true in itself, that we need to be prepared to take the gospel out to people and preach the gospel. Well, that's certainly true. We need to be prepared for this. But I take it that we ourselves, we need to be marked by the peace of the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. You know, in this, we live in an age where people are scared about anything, everything. You know, if people see that we are calm and we are marked by peace, that's a testimony. So are we marked by peace or is it storming in us? And sometimes it's storming in my heart and I'm not marked by the peace that I should be marked by. It's the peace of not just the peace of God, that is certainly true, but also the peace that we have between Jew and Gentile in Christ, which is really the subject of this epistle. It says in chapter 2, verse 14, he himself is our peace. And so we need to be marked by that. And then verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. We need trust in God. We trust the Lord. And sometimes our faith gets tested. And this could be a time when our faith gets tested in a way we had never expected. Taking the shield of faith. The Roman shield was a shield, very big shield. It would cover the whole man. If he stood behind that shield, he would be hiding completely. With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so the devil is shooting his arrows at us. And with fire, fiery darts of the wicked one, of the devil himself. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet is for your mind. The breastplate is for your heart. The helmet is for your mind. What are we feeding ourselves with? What's going into our minds? Our minds need to be renewed from day to day, as we saw in chapter 4. But the devil wants to target our minds as well. There's a battle for our minds. And so a Christian faith is not just a matter of the heart. It certainly is. But it's also a matter of the mind. And what do we fill our minds with? And so we need to fill our minds with God's word. And we need to meditate on the things of the Lord himself. You see that in Philippians 4. Whatsoever things are true, honest, and just, and so on. Lovely, of good report. Think on these things. And so sometimes we try to fill our minds with much information, but the Word of God is for a transformation. So the mind is a very important aspect of our armor, the helmet of salvation. And so salvation here is not just talking about the salvation from the penalty of sin, but salvation also on an ongoing basis from the power of sin. And then in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, what would we be like without the Word of God? We have the Word of God in our hands. We can read it for ourselves. We're blessed with it. Unlike many Christians from hundreds of years ago, they didn't have a Bible for themselves. They had to hear it from other people, reading it to them. We have the Word of God. Now, it's interesting, the word that is used here for word is not logos, but it's the word rhema, which means the utterance or the applied Word of God. And it reminds me of the Lord Jesus when he was in Luke chapter 4, or Matthew 4, when he was tempted by Satan. How did the Lord Jesus fight against Satan there? He said, "It is written, it is written." And he quoted from the Word of God. I just want to challenge you. Are you able, you might know the Word of God, but are you able to apply the Word of God in your own life? You know, and not just for our own lives, but for our families. This is not just speaking about me as an individual. This is something we have together. We are not just individual soldiers. Soldiers always make up an army together. And so that's another thing. We need to stand together. This is very important. We stand together. It's very easy at this point in time where we're not able to meet physically to drift apart from one another. Christianity is not just an experience as an individual. It's something that we experience together. And I find it very sad, and I hope that this whole all these restrictions of not being able to gather, but it's very sad that nowadays a lot of Christians are just sitting home and never having a desire to meet with other believers. And that's I hope that this experience will, rather than drive us apart, and rather than driving us away from the church gatherings, will make us think and appreciate the tremendous blessing of being able to gather together as Christians. We need each other. A soldier by himself is not much of a defense against the power of Satan. We need each other. We are part of an army. There needs to be teamwork. But we have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit uses the Word of God. The Spirit does never works against the Word of God. The Spirit of God and the Word of God go hand in hand. And so we need to feed ourselves with God's Word. We need to be able to handle that Spirit, that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then it's maybe in verse 18, Paul doesn't use any metaphor here or any picture, but I wouldn't surprise me if Paul had seen our modern armies today, that he would have probably put in some kind of a communication device, radio or something. But they didn't have that in those days. But we know from present-day warfare that communication is of the most vital importance. You know, if you're a soldier on the battlefield and you don't know what's going on, well, how do you know where to fight and what to do? You know, you might actually strike down one of your fellow soldiers, and very important. So communication, and so we need to have communication with headquarters, and that's tremendously important. And so Paul, that's why I believe that verse 18, prayer is the seventh part of this armor of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplication is specific prayer. You know, sometimes our prayers are so general. And what do we pray about? Notice what Paul says, what he's praying about. First of all, he says, being watchful to this end. It's very easy to give that up. You know, we need to be watchful with perseverance, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not just pray for me, for myself, but pray for all the saints. Notice that phrase, all the saints. We found that a number of times in this epistle already. What we have in blessings is what we have together with all the saints, love for all the saints, and blessed with all the saints, and so on. And then Paul says, very personally, he said, and pray for me too, in verse 19, that utterance may be given to me, that the word may be given to Paul, that, no, he doesn't say that I may get out of jail. It's, I mean, we would expect that him to ask, get me, Lord, get me out of this jail. You know, a lot of our prayers are just about the physical safety. We pray a lot, and I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for this, don't get me wrong, but a lot of our prayers are about physical safety. You know, we pray for sick people, and we should. We pray for safety on the road, and we should. And, you know, but Paul, he doesn't pray any of this stuff. And he says that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, we sometimes think of these men that they were so bold to speak, and they were, but that didn't come naturally. They asked for this, that they might speak boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so the Lord, he calls us to follow him. He is a rejected savior, but he is the victor through death and the resurrection. And he is in heaven today. You know, sometimes this section is compared with World War II, D-Day, Decision Day. And World War II happened on June 6, 1944. Decision Day for us is the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's Decision Day. When D-Day became an accomplished fact in World War II, everybody knew it was just a matter of time and the Germans would be defeated. That was just a matter of time. And so we live between D-Day and V-Day, Victory Day. And those 11 months of the war were probably the hardest months of the war for the Allied soldiers. Fierce battles took place. And so we live between D-Day. In principle, the devil is a defeated enemy, but we are waiting for the day when the Lord will come. But in the meantime, God, he has left us here, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Paul says that here in verse 20, I'm an ambassador in chains. An ambassador is a representative of the country where he's from. He's in chains, and ambassadors are usually protected from being put in prison. But Paul, he is following his Savior, and Paul is in jail, and he is praying for boldness. You know, there's many believers today who are in prison for the name of the Lord Jesus. And the reports are that many of them are praying not to get out of jail, but that they may stand firm in the faith. To stand firm. We stand in the faith, as Franklin said earlier. We stand. We don't fall back on our faith. We stand in the faith. And it's, we don't have our faith and the Lord just to as a 9/11 number, so to speak, to get us out of trouble. No, we stand in the faith always. And may we also speak God's word with boldness as we ought to speak. And Paul is saying that too. And so I just want to encourage you. Let this time of not being able to gather, let this be a time where we encourage one another in whatever way we can. And make it a time to not let our guard down and to not get discouraged, as it's so easy to be. Not get defiled. Be careful what if you watch too much on your internet. Don't get carried away with what you watch on the internet. You could get defiled. And don't get deceived. There's many stories on the news today and many stories on what you can read and many stories that can deceive you. But our hearts need to be focused on the Lord Jesus, not distracted. And let us not be divided. And I think a little bit too, about, you know, when we are able to gather again together, we don't know when, but I can foresee to divide us. You know, some folks might be more timid in getting back together with a whole group of people again than others. And so we need to be careful when that time arrives that we don't criticize each other. If some folks feel that they should stay away longer just to be sure not to get sick, and others are more wanting to gather quicker and not being afraid of these things. Let us be patient with one another, and let us not get carried away and allow the devil to divide us in this area. And then in verses 21 to 24, Paul is giving his final greetings. And he is apparently sending this letter to Ephesus. His name means fortunate. And he's a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. And what a tremendous, you know, it might have looked like that was not much of a job to send a letter. But, you know, if he hadn't sent that, if he hadn't taken that letter, this brother Tychicus, then we would not have had this letter in our possession. And what a tremendous encouragement this letter is. And notice too what Paul says. You know, he's the one that is in jail, but he says in verse 22 that he may comfort your hearts. And that's Paul. He was in the midst of trouble, and he was still looking to comfort and to encourage other believers. And we should do the same. And then he says in verse 23, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Just want to challenge you, each one another today. Are we sincere? Are we upright? Are we focused? Are we one single-minded? And do we love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and integrity? And so be strong in the Lord and be empowered in the Lord and in the power of his might. The devil is a defeated foe. We have victory through the Lord Jesus. And in principle, we are victors, but what we do in our daily lives, you know, don't live like a defeated person. Live in the victory of the Lord Jesus. And the victory is ours, and we can find our strength in him, even in times when it is difficult. Now back to whoever, back to Franklin. Oh, maybe I should close in prayer, and then the word can go back to you. So, our Father, we thank you for your great love and kindness to us today. We thank you that we may know the Lord Jesus, and we thank you that he is a living Savior forevermore. We thank you, Father, that we have victory in him. We thank you that we can follow the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus has overcome the world. And Father, when we think of the disciples who were so fearful after the Lord Jesus had died, and then the Lord Jesus appeared in their midst and he said, Shalom. And Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus speaks peace to us. And Father, we pray that you may help us to live like victors, to live like Christians, representing the Lord Jesus in a world that is against us, that we may shine the Lord Jesus in our daily lives as believers, in our marriages, in our families, in our work life, in the way we interact with people, in our church life. Father, we pray that you may give us opportunities to tell people the gospel and to see people saved. And Father, we pray for our children, they all may come to know the Lord Jesus as well. And we ask you these things. We think too, Father, of some of us who have businesses. We think especially of Dwight and his motel business. And Father, we pray that if this is in your plan, that also things may go back to normal soon, and that we can, all these businesses may be resuming their lives again. Father, we pray for this. Pray for those who are discouraged. We pray that you may encourage them. And we ask you these things and give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Leonard. Your reception was great. It was great to have you back on. Get you back on the channel again.